to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
All right, Mitch out today. Well-needed day off, vacation. He's back Friday. No show tomorrow. We'll be back to go through everything in a huge... How big is that Notre Dame game now, too? Coming up against North Carolina.
What is it, 4.5 now?
What do you think of that?
The number's dropping.
Yeah. It's a good game. Good doubleheader on ABC, too.
Paul said, don't bring the punter. You won't ever have to punt against North Carolina.
Well, deplorable defense, yeah. No doubt. A couple updates here. NFL news. Ian Rappaport. While the Ravens deal with all these COVID tests and positives with staff members and players, one option being considered is for the team to fly out day of the game tomorrow. Short flight night game, not ideal, not unprecedented either. Everything's against Baltimore in this one. Now, you mentioned all these people that haven't used Pittsburgh, but this is, I'm just talking about from what we do here. Take out the Circus Survivor for a second. It's up to 5.5 now. I mean, they're reeling. They're struggling on offense. They don't have a lot of depth. All these guys are out. You might have to fly day of the game.
Lamar says they know our plays.
That, too.
That's concerning.
Roman. No big deal.
Back
happens
to
all the
Holy Spirit and I'm seeking with this guy.
Yes.
He can go eat at Steak 38 with Lombardi and Bill Berman, my campaign manager.
I didn't like Roman's comeback. Well, that's no big deal. It happens all the time. Yeah. It does? I don't know. That's a good question for Lombardi. That's the other one. The Bengals are going to go with Brandon Allen to start against the Giants. He was on the practice squad until the other day when he replaced Burrow on the roster. Finley's going to be the backup. They saw enough of that, apparently.
That was brutal. So Ryan O'Finley.
Yeah, yes, it's going to be. But 5 football games tomorrow. Even the New Mexico game's intriguing. 0-4 laying 6.5 in the road. Come on. But this Utah State outfit, my God, just deplorable. They've lost every game by at least 19. And you get the Detroit game to start after what happened to Detroit against Carolina. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Now, it's a big total, 51.5. But both teams can't run the ball. So I just think it's going to be pass, pass, pass. And you see a lot of props go over. Like, now Watson's 300 at Bet Rivers. You can also get a juicy return on over 2.5 touchdown passes. You like Stafford to throw an interception, which I like too. I think Watson under 31.5 rushing yards can come in. Cook's 68.5, Fuller 70.5. And that'll be a fun game to start. Hopefully it's a lot like 2012, the last time they played on Thanksgiving.
You know, under Crennel, they haven't played poorly. I mean, that game was an aberration. This weather in Cleveland is unbelievable. Every week
yes.
in Cleveland,
yes.
wind and rain.
Yes.
Every week.
It's awesome.
How can it be? You just bet under in the first quarter.
I don't care. The weather will be fine Sunday. I still come right back with Cleveland under.
They played in a shell that game.
Yeah.
They did. They were all bundled up with the wind. I would throw that game out. I think they've played better since they got rid of O'Brien. I lean even laying the field goal here, but especially in, I think you have 2 viable options, now, Dallas and Houston.
I really like Dallas. 2.5 here at Circa. Revenge, watermelon, human emotion.
What happened to Gallagher? What did happen to that guy?
I don't know
guy?
What happened to him. Remember that guy?
They would have the ponchos on.
Yes.
The first 8 rows.
Yes. Mitch was baffled that guy was popular.
I saw Mitch yesterday.
Yeah.
He was. He never got it.
Yeah, I understand why. How was that guy popular? He's just coming out hitting watermelons and captivating the nation. Doesn't make any sense. No hyperbole after the action update.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen tested positive for COVID-19. That test followed with a negative. It may have been a false positive, so Adam Thielen's status remains in question for Sunday's matchup with the Carolina Panthers at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. The Vikings are 4.5-point favorites over the Panthers. Thursday in the NFL, the Texans laying 3 at Detroit, Cowboys a 2.5-point home chalk against Washington, and the Steelers bet up to a 5-point home favorite against the Ravens. College basketball today, North Carolina laying 17 at home against Charleston. It's the VSIN Black Friday weekend special offer. New subscribers save 25% on your annual all-access membership and get $30 credit to the VSIN store. You'll also get the College Hoops Guide, daily best bets emails, point spread weekly, 24/7 video streaming, and much more. VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's here. College basketball is back. 21 ranked teams scheduled to play early season games. Bet on all these games and the other hoops action with Bet River Sportsbook all season long. All the props are up for tomorrow's NFL. Great menu, great customer service. Only one-time playthrough with Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey at Play Sugar House. We love Bet Rivers. You already did Thanksgiving, and this is, you know, tough because you're in the casino business, so no days off. But first of all, here's the picture, and you teased it earlier. Look at this.
Sean Thompson.
Sean Thompson.
Six live lobsters. Yes. I put them in. It said, I read the instructions, wet newspaper, and of course their claws are bound, but put them in the crispers in your refrigerator. So I did. My son opened the refrigerator. He was so scared. He says, there's giant spiders. Giant spiders in the refrigerator. I said, those are lobsters. And then my wife and I cooked one. I said, no. I said, okay, let's give them to your dad. And he made a whole feast for her whole family. And that was a picture from the feast he made that next day.
Look at that.
Oh, it was incredible.
My God. How about this one, too? Connie in Indiana. Connie's terrific. She always emails ftm@vsin.com. Connie is not screwing around. Connie's picture, not the email, guys, the picture. Connie, it's only her and two people. You should see her spread. It takes up the whole table. Connie's spread, what she had. I mean, what a job. I can't believe that only two people and she had all that ready to go, too. This is in a reference to Rich Bacciolari's Italian stuffing. Mixed ground beef, ground pork, ground veal, eggs, breadcrumbs, onion, garlic, salt, pepper, and a big bowl like you're making meatballs. Saute in a big pan, little olive oil until almost cooked completely. Remove from the heat, add big chunks of provolone, roast in the bird. It's delicious. Take all your leftovers, make a shepherd's pie. Layer the ground beef stuffing, green bean casserole, corn pudding, bread stuffing, turkey, gravy, top of the mashed potatoes with cheese and bake. Connie in Indiana. That was to Rich's Italian stuffing, too. I mean, how good is Connie? There it is. Look at that's Connie and her husband. Look at it takes up the whole table. Well done. I'll be picking up today. This is my Super Bowl. I mean, this is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, turkey, football. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Love it. And I wish I was Italian because that's the other thing. Imagine all these stories we hear and the great emails we receive and talking to Lombardi and Richie Bacciolari and Vinny Meatballs. They start with the Italian. Mm-hmm. And the turkey comes later. I mean, ziti, lasagna, meatballs, whatever. I mean, unbelievable.
Cooking is really a form of intimacy, though. And people get into it and this form of sharing. You asked me the other day, mm-hmm. Paul, you said, what's your favorite Thanksgiving Day memory? And so I was thinking back. There was one Thanksgiving that was very vivid to me. And I was 7 years old, and I still remember this. 1980. Thanksgiving 1980, it'll be 40 years tomorrow. On Thanksgiving, we always went to my mother's older sister house, my godmother, to celebrate Thanksgiving. Of course, back then, there was only two games. So Central Time, the first game would kick around 11:30. We'd get there just about 10:15 because we wouldn't want to miss the NFL Today with Brent. And I found this in the archives, John. Can we roll it? 40 years to go tomorrow.
Now, from the CBS Sports Control in New York, here's Brent Musburger.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Pull up a chair now, get real comfortable, sit back and relax, enjoy an afternoon of football here on CBS. Happy Thanksgiving, Jimmy.
Hey, same to all of you. I'm very happy. At 62, I'm still here with a wonderful family, and I love all of you, too. A lot to be thankful for.
Speaking of family, does this...
Wow.
Jimmy the Greek Phillips. What an incredible NFL Today episode this was. They had Vince Scully interview President-elect Ronald Reagan during this. And then Jack Whitaker did a piece on just 2 days earlier, Roberto Duran had quit in the eighth round against Sugar Ray, no mas. Whitaker called it the most stunning walkout since Rhett Butler left Scarlett O'Hara. And then we had the first game from the Pontiac Silverdome, Pat Summerall calling the game with Tom Brookshire. A significant game. It landed on this list as the number four.
It was.
It was the return. Dave Williams in overtime, 13 seconds, returns the kick, and the Bears beat the Lions. Then the second game was Dallas against Seattle that was really reeling at the time. They had lost five in a row. Cowboys blew them out 51-7. Dick Enberg, Merlin Olsen on the call. That was the first year of Danny White. Roger Staubach had retired and was a sideline reporter at that time. But I remember that Thanksgiving after we'd watched the two football games, You know, then the kids would go downstairs and play, and the adults would play euchre. They'd play spades at the table and all this. And usually we'd stay till 8, 9, 10 o'clock. But I remember playing downstairs, and I remember hearing voices get louder and louder, and then hearing my father say, "Michael, get your coat. We're leaving." And I didn't know what was going on, so I grabbed my coat and I ran upstairs. And there was this huge argument that had ensued. And what had happened was certain members of the family had said, you know, it was a tough time, 1980. We were in a recession, and they said, instead of everybody giving everybody a gift for Christmas, why don't we just draw a name? We'll give kids gifts, but we just draw a name, and you'll give one other adult in the family a gift. And my father was just outraged by it. I mean, he was so angry. That's why we were leaving. He was walking out, and I remember him vividly 40 years ago saying, no one is going to tell me who I can't give a gift to. And I remember thinking, that's right. You should be able to give a gift to everyone. Why would you prevent that? You know, and I can sit here today 40 years later and say he was probably wrong on every level of that discussion. But as a 7-year-old boy, how could he ever be wrong?
Yeah.
You know, he was my dad. And it just, I just remember it to this day. And I wish he was still here. It's one of my great regrets. He never got to meet my son. That he left us 10 years ago. He never got to see the Cubs win the World Series.
Oh.
He gave it 100 years and he gave up.
He
never got to see my son. But that was my favorite Thanksgiving Day memory.
Well,
all right. All right. Let's roll right into how about we do that?
Right. In 84, he had to take a few days to himself, and they blew it to the Padres.
Oh, the ball between the Sutcliffe was 16-1, and the ball went through Durham's legs.
Didn't they beat him like 16-1
40 home runs off Shaw in game one. We didn't have school the first 2 days. All right. let's get to no hyperbole here. I think it's a pretty decent list this week. All right, number five, in 1977, Billy Joel released The Stranger, the first single off that album, Just the Way You Are. Oh, yes, it's the Anthony Lynn entry. Let's go back to SoFi and Irvin and some of the curious decisions of Brother Lynn this week. All right, they're playing the winless Jets. They're up 31-19 with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they're facing a 4th-and-1 at the Jets' 5-yard line. Lynn burns a timeout to prevent a delay of game. So that the field goal isn't 27 yards, but it's 22 yards. Thankfully, Bagley was able to push it through from 22, and they took a 34-19 lead. Now let's fast forward to 8 seconds remaining in the game. They're facing 4th down, and they're up by 8 from their own 28-yard line. What does Anthony Lynn decide to do? Well, he decides from the 28 to take a safety, to snap it to the punter and run backward. But only the Chargers and Anthony Lynn were not able to run out the clock and took the safety with 1 second left.
Lunacy.
They still had to do the free kick. They kicked it off. The Jets returned a straight return 15 yards, and they ended up winning the game 34-26. Mitch Moss, our friend, happy birthday, Wally Pipp, had a great tweet on this at the end of the game. He said the Chargers took a safety with 1 second left on the clock, and the Jets were incapable of making even one lateral on the free kick.
Yes.
This sums up both teams beautifully. Thank you, Mitch Moss. All right, number four, the Fickell Hellcat. Now, my man Luke Fickell and his team having a great year in Cincinnati, but he's had some questionable decisions. Running the hurry up in that bowl game in that torrential downpour last year when they were up 3 touchdowns.
Yeah,
yeah. The fake punt up 35 last week. And now, a curious spot for you, of course, who is laying 4.5 in this game. 1st and goal at the 5 with 1.5 left. He instructs the running back, Doakes, on 1st down to stop. And they were trying to let him go in. He backed up and took a knee. 2nd down, they just ran into the middle of the line.
Why is UCF stopping him on 2nd?
The only way they can win is to let him go forward.
Yes.
Then he tried to score on 3rd down, and they stopped
him.
Yes, they
did.
At that point, there was 40 seconds left. Here's what makes the no hyperbole. You're going to have 3 seconds left. You have 1 snap. Shotgun?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
Why would they run? They almost got away from it. If that ball bounces up, it's a pick. It's a scoop six the other way.
The guy almost got it.
He almost
Ritter
got it. We were sitting there. The whole Circus Sports book.
The whole book
took a
Cincinnati.
Collective game. I just don't understand that. Of the one last play to go. All right, let's go to number three. It's 1978, and Barry Manilow releases Ready to Take a Chance Again, which is the theme to the movie Foul Play. I don't want to gloss over Foul Play. To me, no one's ever Foul Play. Have you seen the movie Foul Play? You have to go rent it.
Okay.
People, you're out there, you're listening, you're in Canada, okay? You're in Poland, Maine, listening on Ness in Poland Springs Water, tremendous. You're in Winnetka, in Illinois, listening on Marquee. Go rent foul play. Chevy Chase, Goldie Hawn, Dudley Moore, Burgess Meredith, Eugene Roach was a tremendous dual role as the Archbishop, Billy Barty the Midget. This was one of the funniest movies of all time. Ready to Take a Chance Again describes our man Mike McCarthy, who came back to coaching. And I just can't believe what happened at the end of the first half of this game. Cowboys are up 13-7, catching a touchdown. He's got second and goal from the one. 5 seconds left and a timeout. He kicks a field goal. He kicks a field goal. You can't run a fade. You could even run a running play there and still have time to call a timeout with 5 seconds. The field goal was kicked. They still had 2 seconds left. I thought he really took the soul right out of the team doing that, not trying to score a touchdown there. And go up 20-7 into half. Ends up they gave up the lead. Minnesota scored twice in the third quarter, but they came back, they won. They knocked out 72 in Survivor, and all's well that's in well. But a head-scratching decision to kick a field goal with 5 seconds left from the one. All right, let's go to number two. One line off. And this refers to the UVA game against Abilene Christian.
Oh my God.
Virginia is leading 49-13 with 40 seconds left in their game. And they're on their own 3-yard line, second and 12. Abilene only has one timeout. They could take two knees. What happens? Look at this formation. I want everyone to note the formation. They end up running a double pass play. There's two guys lined up 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, two receivers. They got their third team in there. They throw a pass back to the receiver, who throws a pass back to the quarterback, who gets tackled in the end zone for a safety. The unbelievable thing is, if you were catching 39 with Abilene, then they free kick.
Yep.
Abilene drives down to the 20, and on the last play, it's a pick six, and you lose.
And
they lost by 40.
They clocked it by four.
Yeah, he clocked it with 12 seconds. That's an impossible, maybe the worst bad beat of all time.
Yep.
But what are they doing running a double pass when they could take a knee? So after the game, they talked to Bronco Mendenhall, who explained what happened. It's just incredible. I only knew this because I saw Stanford Steve, who did a great job with 67, get on your horse. Here's Mendenhall's explanation on the trick play. Our offensive coordinator, Robert Ine, was a line off on his play chart. He called the wrong play at the end. He meant to call a play to run out the clock. Instead, we called a double pass. It was a complete accident. It shows you what being off one line can do. Maybe in life, but in this case, in a football game, where you go from running the clock to a double pass.
Are you kidding?
He was one line off on the chart. Here's the bigger question. Why is the double pass next to the victory formation or the fullback belly?
Yes.
I mean, what is this? Is a knee next to a fake punt? Why are these plays together on the chart? Yes. I don't get it. Why would these plays be together?
That is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
All right, and then number one.
This is very serious. Number one. First, they came for Lombardi. Pat Hanlon, Senior Vice President of Communications for the New York Giants, went after Michael Lombardi on Twitter. I think, John, do you have the tweets that he sent out on Saturday? They were upset about Lombardi criticizing their organization and making a few comments about what was going on behind closed doors. Basically, what Hanlon said was, I see all these stories tacked with credibility to Michael Lombardi, because they have his name on that. I'm a little late to the party, but I keep seeing Lombardi pop up with people attributing some kind of insightful commentary on us. Just to be clear, Lombardi has no idea what goes on in our building. He went on to say that's why Michael Lombardi is talking instead of doing. Now, I don't understand. Why are they going after our guy here at VSIN? I mean, Michael Lombardi. Who is pulling Pat Hanlon's strings here? Is it GM Dave Gettleman? Is that the guy that's offended by Lombardi? Is he the one that's launching this attack? Is it Chairman Steve Tisch of the Giants, who also is a frequent guest on Shark Tank with Mark Cuban? Is it Rooney Mara from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Good movie.
Excellent movie.
Great performance.
Excellent movie. But also part of the Mara and Rooney families. Uh-huh. A lot of political clout. I don't know who it is. But here's the big question. Who's safe? Who's going to be next? Is anybody here safe? Who are they going to go after next? Who will the Gettleman Gestapo go after? Will it be Danny Burke? Is he safe? Will they go after Greg Hoops Peterson, who's back for college basketball coverage here at VSIN? Or will they go after Sprott's Gambler? Andy McNeil, our hockey expert. Is anybody safe? I don't know, Paul. It seems like open war by the New York Giants. And that's no hyperbole.
Very good. Excellent. Oh, my God. Poor Lombardi.
Poor Lombardi.
He's
negative about 32 teams. What are they getting upset about?
That's right. That's right.
They must have heard it on GM Shuffle. I'm convinced. I'm pretty convinced of that.
Actually. Oh, I'm pretty convinced of that.
Go after
Andy. Very good. Very good. Incredible. How did that? Did you walk out with your dad then?
Oh, sure. Of course we did.
With dad's get
my
your
mother
jacket
yelled at him the whole way home in the
really?
Car. What was her family mostly?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tough beat.
It was her family mostly.
And he had to defend himself, saying, no, I mean, you're not telling me what to do.
Well,
I'm not trying
people feel bad that they couldn't give gifts. But he wanted to get. He had a good job at the time, but he wasn't particularly empathetic to the others in the room.
Okay.
Well, for years I thought he was right. For years it was my dad.
Chuck Edel with three totals coming up in college football. Paul Charchi and rapid fire fantasy advice in the playoffs right around the corner. Palm Reader's playbook and in pocket with a good soccer card coming up next. VSiN, follow the money. Wally, Mike Palm, Mitch Moss, back Friday. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and faster rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself. Sign up with code VSiN250. The 100% deposit match up to $250. Must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, Illinois. Must be 21. PointsBet, great job. Love the menu and everything they have to offer as well. And we'll talk to Teddy coming up on Friday. In pocket. Thank you to Stephen Hammond. Easy winner with Seattle. He handicapped that beautifully. So good at home, LA issues on the road, 3-1 final in the playoffs. They move on. So that's a winner there plus money. Notre Dame, Carolina over Friday. We're on Friday, by the way. It's a great day of football. Michigan State plus the points against this Northwestern thing. Now they're top 10. Now they're ranked top 10. A week after everyone's, you know, the Reese Davis stuff and the Galloway, which was just horrendous analysis, by the way. But in any event, now they're top 10 and BYU's 14. Give me a break. I'm laying 11 with Boise against San Jose State. The big game on Fox. And I like the Cowboys tomorrow. I really do. Revenge. The hit on Dalton. Humiliated in the first meeting. Humiliated. And now apparently there was a spark there with McCarthy with the Gallagher routine. And we said it earlier. You know, I got to be a little bit concerned, Mike. This is for you. How about a three-team defensive, no defensive touchdown special teams parlay that pays plus 140 on the Thanksgiving Day games. Plus 140, the no. You can do 270, 280, about juice. I know it's $3 everywhere at the Westgate, all three games. Thank you, Ed Sammons. I mean, come on. But that's let's have a little fun. No defensive special teams touchdown parlay tomorrow with your turkey as the Lions get spanked again in plus 140.
You got to get through the gauntlet of Stafford and my name is Kendrick Lamar.
Sure.
Get through that.
Absolutely.
That's dicey at any time.
There you go. All right, you've been hot with soccer.
Oh, the
soccer. What are you doing?
Boy, I love the soccer.
I want to see what you have today. Good Champions League.
Many palm reasons. Just this thing with Champions is these are all the reverse fixtures. These teams just played 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we know the results. Yeah.
Didn't Liverpool destroy at Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay.
5-0, I think. I don't remember.
Okay.
But Porto, if you remember, Porto was a Group 1 play against Marseille when they played in Portugal. On the shores of the Atlantic Ocean, they scored 2 goals in the first 4 minutes. Remember, you were texting me, Porto, my God.
That's right.
Now they head due east to the south of France to play Marseille. Marseille has lost 12 Champions League matches in a row. You could bet this two ways. You can take Porto plus about 135 on the three-way. I'll take it as a pick minus 125. They are on the road. Porto, I like this. I've been following the Portuguese soccer as well. Marseille is just bad. This is a Marseille fate. Here's the reverse fixture, Man City, Olympiacos. Olympiacos is a good under team. I had this first match under three, and it was a bad beat. They scored two goals. Man City was up 1-0, and they scored two goals after the 82nd minute to push that one. I'm going to come back to under three. I don't think Olympiacos scores.
Okay.
Man City challenged Tottenham. Shut it down. Sonny got the early goal. They went right to the choo-choo train, and they parked the bus yes. in front of Hugo Lloris. 2-0, baby. How hot this. Are these Spurs?
This guy used to laugh at me when I said put the Premier League games on the long bar. This is Nigel play, too.
Yeah,
Nigel under three as well.
Yeah, Nigel, he's pretty sure. He had a good day yesterday, yeah. too. All the favorite.
Chelsea points. And Sevilla. I mean, how I'll good was
the,
that?
I'll take the, well, come on. 91st, 95th, and 91st. And then I'll yeah. side with you.
Okay,
it's three now, so I'll give out the current number.
Tomorrow, there are 25 Europa matches, by the way, too. I know you'll be in action. ExpressBet editor-in-chief Jeremy Plunk. Opening day at the Fairgrounds, race 6. Jeremy likes the 2. Proxy. That's what you should have to help out with Survivor. 4-1 in the morning line.
What's Kelly going to do? Come to your house and wake you up?
Second career.
I don't understand.
Second career start for well-bred Colts, who finishes a runner-up in his debut. Churchill Downs, race 10. Jeremy likes the 3. Smooth with a kick. 5-1 on the morning line. Bet these races and more using FirstBet, the preferred horse betting app of VSiN. Go to first.com/bet to sign up. Fairgrounds, he likes the 2 and the 6. Churchill, the 10. How about the pick again? Can you guys throw up the pick? Boy, I tell you, nobody's safe. This great photo you had Sunday at the pool. People are pointing out on Twitter. They're blowing up the picture. Check out the lifeguard minding his business. To the left, there's a guy just sitting there hanging. People are ripping a guy for his poor front porch. And looking, I mean, the guy's just sitting there minding his business trying to catch some rays. And people are like, oh, boy, look at the belly on this guy.
There was a
point.
They're
blowing up the picture and saying, forget about Bali in the football games. Look at the guy.
How about
Keen,
the tweet from Keen at Crane Pool 29 minutes ago? That picture should be at an art gallery or even better, the Louvre. I mean, this is...
I cannot believe the response from people and even women saying, that's a postcard.
Yeah, it's really good.
I it captures the essence and everything at Stadium Swim.
Did you catch Stormy and Amal on Lombardi Line yet? Why did Amal have her do the Manscaped read?
Ooh.
I mean, Amal's the most metro guy at the network. Very believable. Very easy sell.
Sure.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, that's just to put Stormy in a tough spot there.
Very tough.
Hate to see that. Here he comes. Three totals. College football. Chuck Edel next. VSiN. Ball the money. Paulie, Mike Palm. Mitch Moss back Friday. Shopping weekend, the perfect time to sign up for VSiN. New subscribers at 25% off the regular price of the annual All Access membership, plus a $30 credit to the VSiN store. Get the Nigel shirt. Don't be a moron. Put more on it. Or the great VSiN Van Halen shirt I wore yesterday. That thing is awesome. Subscribe today. You'll get our brand new College Hoops Guide. Over 400 pages. Starts today. Daily best bet emails. Point spread weekly. Don't miss this huge deal. Great savings. $30 credit. What do you want? Come on. Great gear. Sign up today, vsin.com/subscribe. Special appearance on a Wednesday, Chuck Edel joins us now. Follow him on Twitter, professional sports better. 1-1 last week with the college with a sick beat in the Cincinnati game. I couldn't believe that. They didn't punch it in late, and then the fiasco on fourth down. All right, my friend, three totals. Usually it's tomorrow, but it's going to be Saturday. Let's start with the Egg Bowl. Take it away.
All right, and let's get off the snide here. And got the Mississippi State game. You know, Ole Miss. We talked that probably before on the show here. How fast they play. They don't huddle so much. They're as fast of a team that you'll see anybody in the country. They average 80 plays a game with their offense. And you know, when you play that fast, it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. We've seen that before. And there's a reason why the defense is letting up 41 points a game and 7.2 yards per play. Luckily for Mississippi, they also average 41 points a game and 7 yards per play. So their offense is moving the ball and their defense can't stop anybody. Last game, their defense allowed 42 points to a South Carolina team that's 89th in the country. But Ole Miss did put up 59. and got the job done. Now, Mississippi State, you know, you remember some of their teams. They're not like you don't think of them as a fast playing team. They've stepped it up this year. Last year, 64.9 plays a game. This year, all the way up to 70 plays a game, and they're passing the ball well. Mississippi State, 20th in the country, you know, passing the ball, and they're going to go up against the Mississippi State defense at 116th in the country. Mississippi State problem is they can't run the ball, but they might even be able to run it against this team, against the Mississippi pass rush at 125th in the country. So Mississippi State, who has had trouble running the ball, you know, they've passed the ball this year 376 times and only ran the ball 114. So both these teams like to play fast. Both these teams like to throw the ball. And we know Mississippi State also a team who struggles with the pass and the defensive end as well. So this looks like a pretty big shootout to me. I'm going to go over the total here.
All right, egg ball over. How about another over, Purdue and Rutgers?
Yeah, last week, speaking of bad beats, Paulie, we were talking off the air about that one. Purdue, that was about as bad as I've seen in a while. I mean, I'm sure you guys talked about it a lot over there, but you know, the bottom line is that, you know, with the O'Donnell, the quarterback, doubtful, I don't think it's a big drop-off now. I mean, I was really impressed, and even going into the game, a lot of people were high on this Jack Plummer, and he will start the game. In that game against Minnesota, he was 35 for 42, three touchdowns. Everybody knows it should have been four touchdowns, 367 yards. And in the game, Purdue ran, you know, they throw the ball 42 times. They only ran the ball 25 times, and that's kind of how they've been this year. They've thrown the ball 179 times. They've ran the ball 100 times this year. So another team pretty pass happy this year. That's the Purdue team. And they also got, the last game, they got their best wide receiver, an NFL prospect back there, Rondale Moore. Very good. He had 15 receptions in the game against Minnesota, 116 yards. And he's a huge help for that offense. Purdue is 63rd in the country in total yards, but not bad considering, you know, they played some good defenses. They played Northwestern. They played Iowa. Rutgers isn't going to fill that spot. They're 95th pass defense in the country. They're giving up 36.8 points a game, but they are scoring. I mean, they put up some points this year. They're averaging 29 points a game. They put up 42 versus Michigan, 27 versus a solid Ohio State team. So Purdue has struggled on defense a bit. They're giving up 34. They gave up 34 points last week to Minnesota, who was very shorthanded. And Rutgers plays faster this year too. So I like this game again to go over the total. And this is a Rutgers team who's been scoring a lot more than they have in the past. And Purdue will get their points against that Rutgers defense.
Follow the money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Paulie Howard, Mike Palm, Chuck Dettel, our guests. Follow them on Twitter. Professional sports better. One more, Duke, Georgia Tech over.
We got a little bit of overitis this morning because we got another over, but you know, Georgia Tech's had 3 weeks off. They've been just unfortunate with teams who have had some COVID issues, and now they're back and playing. But you know, this is a young Georgia Tech team. Freshman quarterback Jeff Sims, who's very athletic, but he's definitely shown some improvement as the season's gone on. I mean, to start a freshman is never an easy thing. He's been improving here. Georgia Tech has played a tough schedule. I mean, look at a couple of their last few games. They played Notre Dame. They played Clemson. So this Duke will be the worst defense that they have faced. And Georgia Tech's likely to play fast as well. So, you know, it's, again, you know, when you look at, they played up with that Notre Dame, Clemson, they played some good defenses, even Louisville, but they did put up some points against Louisville. Duke's defense giving up 32.4 points a game, the 5.73 yards per play. Duke offense, though, another team who's this year has been playing a lot faster. They're averaging 75 plays a game this year, and they're going to go up against the Georgia Tech defense. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about Mississippi, how they run that no-huddle offense, and they play very fast. Well, Georgia Tech as well plays very fast, and that puts a lot of pressure on your defense. You know, when you're playing, that means a lot more time sometimes for that defense to be on the field, and the Georgia Tech defense has been struggling. So they're giving up over almost 40 points a game. They're 122nd in the country, 6.1 yards per play. Last six games, they've given up 44 points a game. They gave up 37 to Syracuse, and that's the Syracuse team who's 121st in the country. They only averaged 16 points a game. They put up 37 on them. This Duke's offense is improving as well. They're averaging over 33 points a game their last five games. So another over for me here. I'm going to go over the Georgia Tech Duke.
Thank you for getting up early and coming on a Wednesday, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Hey, thanks to everybody out there. Happy and safe Thanksgiving. Thanks, guys.
Chuck Edel, Pro Sports Better, at Chuck Edel on Twitter. E-D-E-L, three totals. Egg Bowl over, Purdue over, Duke over. There you go. More NFL news. Mike Glennon's going to start for Jacksonville Sunday. It's a Mike Glennon show. So Brandon Allen in Cincinnati, Mike Glennon in Jacksonville.
You think there'll be more people on Cleveland or more people on the Giants in Survivor on Sunday?
Yeah, a new wrinkle now with these quarters.
There's only 60 people that have the Packers left. Remember, they all used them on that.
That's right. Jacksonville and some other games. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good point. Can he top Christmases for Christians? We'll try to have a Thanksgiving message up next and also fantasy with Paul Charchian. We close Follow the Money next. Out there, we're off tomorrow. We're back Friday. We'll recap everything and preview the NFL action and a good college schedule as well. What do you have, buddy?
Well, we got to get this Kelly fixed. We got to get the show up there. Who wants to see Kelly Rowland? They could see Mike Baum up there on the screen.
It's too complicated for the guys to figure it out to get Follow the Money up on a big screen, Nessa, whatever it may be.
Still trying to get Cox cable.
Right. Misspoke earlier. I know it was so heartwarming last year. Christmas isn't just for Christians. That's what it was.
That was the heartfelt homily. Yes. What was the grade? B minus C?
C minus. Too serious. Too serious.
One of the top 10 moments in Follow the Money history was
voted. Absolutely. Here he comes. We love talking to Paul Charchian, and we're getting close to the playoffs. All right, my friend, let's go rapid fire. What do you think about these three games tomorrow and any matchups you like?
Well, let me give you a non-obvious fantasy and really quasi-betting tidbit about each of the six teams on Thanksgiving. Let's start with Houston, Detroit. Okay. Duke Johnson has been forgettable in replacing David Johnson, but the Lions have allowed the most rushing touchdowns and an incredible 12 touchdowns to runners in the past 5 weeks alone. Duke Johnson's not known as a touchdown scorer. There's probably a prop out there that you could take advantage of. Mm. On the Detroit side, DeAndre Swift expected to return after missing one game. And you'll remember before missing that game, he got almost all of the work in the backfield. The Texans allowed the most rushing attempts, the most rushing yards, and the second most rushing touchdowns to opposing back. So DeAndre Swift, also a good candidate to get in.
Okay. How about, do we do anything? Zeke had 100 yards against your Vikings. How about the Dallas-Washington game?
Yeah, so let's start on the Dallas side. I don't think we want to chase Andy Dalton's competency against Minnesota from last week because Washington is quietly turning into a great pass defense. Since way back in week 5, only one quarterback has topped one touchdown pass. Pro Football Focus ranks Washington 7th in pass rush, 4th in pass coverage. So I think you want to be cautious about that passing game. I think I'd key on Zeke instead. And on the Washington side, nobody's talking about rookie runner Antonio Gibson, but he's now in the top 10 of all fantasy running backs on the entire season. And he'll face the Cowboys defense that allows the 8th most fantasy points to the position. I think Antonio Gibson is turning into a very good running back. Passes the eye test, and he's got a nice opportunity here.
And then the night game. Oh, my God, what a fiasco here. All these guys out for the Ravens. If you like anything, and the passing attack's been putrid all year. And then what do you think of Pittsburgh, too, in some of these matchups?
And let's talk about that passing attack. Okay. You know, all of last year, you could do no wrong starting Lamar Jackson every single week. It was the safest play there was in fantasy football. Now, your other quarterback, that other backup that you drafted behind Lamar Jackson might be a better play. Only the Jets have thrown for fewer passing yards than the Ravens. And Lamar Jackson's rushing numbers are just okay. He's in the 55-yard range most weeks. He's only got 3 rushing touchdowns on the season. So I think, and this is not a get right matchup against Pittsburgh. So there's a, you may want to consider other options. I have Lamar Jackson down as my 13th ranked quarterback this week on the Pittsburgh side. James Conner's in danger of losing his job, or at least he should be. Over the past 5 weeks, he's averaging 55 rushing yards per game. That's it. 3.9 yards per carry. That's it. 0.2 touchdowns per game. That's it. And the Ravens aren't a get healthy spot either for Conner. They've only given up 4 touchdowns all year on the ground. They held Conner to just 47 yards in the week 8 meeting, so I'm not high on him either.
Okay, excellent. Did you see the comments by Frank Reich saying, I know it's frustrating to fantasy owners, but this is how we're going to use our running backs. And how we're going
to... He doesn't care about us, I can tell you that much. Yeah. And they never do, but let's just detail the horror show that has been the Indy backfield. 4 weeks ago, Jordan Wilkins led all the runners in usage. Then 3 weeks ago, they start Jonathan Taylor. He starts the game. He's getting all the work. Then he fumbles, gets benched, and they go back to Jordan Wilkins, who ends up the lead runner. Then 2 weeks ago, it's all Nyheim Hines, who has been dead to the world since week 1. He gets 17 touches and goes over 100 yards, and he looks great doing it. So fantasy owners all adjust. They put Nyheim Hines back in their lineups. And last week, Nyheim Hines invisible. They go back to Taylor, and he gets 22 carries. At this point, Mike, Paulie, would anybody be surprised to see Marlon Mack come off IR, rip the cast off his leg, get into uniform, and lead the team in carries?
So it's what Shanahan used to do. It was ridiculous, maddening when he was involved in fantasy. Ridiculous. Paul Charchi and our guest. Yep. Okay, so this will be fun. I was looking at this in a couple articles, and I know you're a Hall of Famer for a reason. How about now that we get close to the playoffs, how about easy schedule, hard schedule? And I see Herbert's got an easy schedule against defense's face. I think he gets Atlanta week 14. The Ravens do have the second best remaining schedule for wide receivers in fantasy. Raiders pretty easy as well. Let's start with fantasy playoffs, easy schedule.
All right, and we're defining the playoffs, which it is in most leagues, weeks 14, 15, 16. Let's start on the easy side with the passing, 2 passing game easy matchups that you can exploit. The Rams with Jared Goff. They get the Patriots, which is not a stopper anymore. Then the Jets and the Seahawks. So Jared Goff would get available in a lot of leagues. Josh Reynolds, a potential sneaky pickup, is a guy who's on the field for 80% of the Rams plays. Those are 2 guys you could pick up for their easy run. Ryan Tannehill goes Jaguars, Lions, Packers. So that's 2 of those 3 are very favorable. Sneaky pickup here might be Corey Davis, available in many leagues. So he's a guy you could go get. Mm-hmm. Tannehill's generally rostered. I don't think you can get him. On the running game side, 2 easy one matchups for you. I don't know if you can pick these guys up, but at least consider these guys. David Montgomery is going to go Texans, Vikings, Jaguars. That's the easiest string in those 3 weeks. He's the only running back to have, and I know he's rostered out there. You could still potentially trade for him if you want to enjoy that part of the run. And then Denver with Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon, who are available in some leagues, they're going to go Panthers. That's a terrible run defense. Bills, tough against the pass, easy against the run. And then the Chargers, which are really bad against the run as well. So Lindsay and Gordon are guys that you could try to exploit there.
Okay, and then how about difficult?
All right, so let's go to the passing game. Okay. Some combination for New Orleans of Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, and Jameis Winston is going to go through the gauntlet of the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Vikings. Eagles are a medium matchup. Chiefs are tough. Vikings are improving pass defense. You might be able to get something done there, but that is a tricky series of matchups. Deshaun Watson goes to Chicago. Then he goes to Indy. Those are 2 tough spots to go to. And then if he survives that gauntlet, he has an easy game against the Bengals. So those are some guys you might want to fade. In the running game, get a load of what Dalvin Cook's going to be facing. And Dalvin Cook might be the fantasy MVP right now. He has been awesome this year. He gets week 14, Tampa. They're number 1 in rushing yards allowed, number 3 in fantasy points allowed. Then Dalvin Cook will face the Bears. This is the easy game, is the Bears game. They're number 2 in touchdowns allowed to running backs, number 10 in fantasy points to back. And then he gets the Saints. They're number 2 in rushing yards allowed, number 1 in fantasy points allowed. And it's a brutal series of matchups for Dalvin Cook. And I think that's Dalvin Cook's going to power people into the playoffs. They're going to coast into the playoffs. I can't tell you for sure that Dalvin Cook's going to get you through the playoffs.
Happy Thanksgiving, my man. Excellent job. That was great knowledge, too, on the playoffs and hard and easy. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Normal spot.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paulie.
You're awesome.
Mike, have a great holiday. We'll talk to you guys in a week.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Charchian, guillotineleagues.com, KFan, all his player rankings. You got to follow him on Twitter. If you love fantasy, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. That is great stuff, too, now that we get close to the playoffs as well. Excellent.
Nobody better at the fantasy.
Oh, God. Church. I love it.
Nice to have him on a Wednesday.
You got it.
What a power hour you put
this
together.
This was a lot of fun.
I mean, this is almost as good as Mitch producing the show.
They get the, we'll get the podcast. The podcast up will be all the craps discussion. I could have talked craps an hour with you, too. And again, thanks to all the, we got a lot short breaks, a lot going on, but we'll read all the emails too on Friday with what you sent in, the emails and all the tweets too about crap strategy. And there's a great story too about they ran out of, how about Derek? They ran out of chips with the Hard Rock. As it said,
yeah, he used to love to play at the Hard Rock.
There was a, oh, wow. A
couple of interesting emails about the 84 NLCS with the Cubs and the Padres came in while we were on. You know, that was the thing my father really hated too. Trout was unbelievable in game two at home. And he said, you've got to start Sutcliffe in game four on 3 days rest so that if he loses, you can come back to Trout. And they started Scott Sanderson in game four. That was the, you know, the game where that Garvey hit the home run. But, you know, Scott said he used to blow on his hands when it was 120 degrees. He was always cold. But my father never forgave him for that. Why not? You have Trout for game five if Sutcliffe should happen to lose.
Right,
it's 16-1. Yeah, tremendous. Well, folks, you know, they always have me on with the holiday. I don't know if it just works out like that. It's the 4th of July with the Venezuelans matching up in the nation's capital and Suzuki, the blast in the bottom of the 5th. Christmas isn't just for Christians. But it's been a tough year, 2020.
Yep.
We've lost a lot of people. And if you haven't lost someone close to you, I'm sure you know someone who has. We've fought through this COVID. We've had unrest in the streets. We've had just about division on every issue you could have. But still, if you're hearing my voice or you're seeing me and Paul right now, you've been pretty blessed to be in this situation in your life. And cherish the people you have around you. Cherish your family. Cherish your friends. But cherish all the other people that help make you who you are. Cherish the person that told you you weren't going to be successful at someone. Cherish the person that makes you laugh every day. Cherish the person that challenges you. Because it's all about people. Life is just about the people and the people that you're blessed to be around. People ask me, they say, Mike, how should you celebrate Thanksgiving? They DM me on Twitter. They send me emails. They send me texts. And there was something I read many years ago that I thought was appropriate and would be a good close for us and our way of wishing all of our Follow the Money Army a happy Thanksgiving. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself.
Excellent job today. It was a lot of fun. You're tremendous. B minus. And send in all your pics of your Thanksgiving food spread. Italians, everything out there. I'm jealous. We'll give it back Friday. Happy Thanksgiving. Off tomorrow.